A Galaxy Not So Far Away, a Mysterious Galaxy podcast. I'm your host, Becca.
And I'm Gary.
And today we have Michelle back with us.
Hello, everyone.
Welcome back.
And we're just sort of doing a catch-all episode. We're going to be talking about several different topics. And yeah, I know that's not usually our thing here, but...
Yeah, well, so I really wanted to get us back in the swing of having an episode come out every other Thursday. Because yes. We've been really hit or miss on that lately. And so what I did in order to flesh out the rest of the year and figure out what we're going to be talking about up until the end of 2021, I scheduled a bunch of bookseller specific episodes. So like we had Rob last week, we have Michelle this week, we're going to have Kellyanne next time. Nick's going to talk to us in a couple weeks about NaNoWriMo coming up. Like,
that's
looking forward to this.
Nick refuses to speak to me in person because he's going to be talking to us in a couple weeks.
Oh, man. He's just going to wait until the podcast. He'll have so much to say by then.
We're going to save it all up.
And like this one, like you're saying, Becca, is a little bit of a catch-all episode. And it's because, Michelle and I in the morning at the bookstore, I think we talked about this last time. Mm-hmm. I tend to come in and like immediately I'm like, oh my God, I just watched this thing or read this thing or whatever. And, we jokingly referred to this like as caffeine and conspiracies.
Oh my God. That's such a good title.
And I think that might be just what I title this episode and just make it like, this is every once in a while, we'll just have Michelle on to just talk about like, oh my God, did you see the finale of What If?
Cause I'm here for that.
We can get to that.
Becca, have you seen the finale of What If yet?
Yeah, it was the last episode. So we can talk about that at some point if we want to.
So many feelings.
I thought it was fun.
It was fun.
Yeah, that's fair. Okay, actually, let's just.
It's me, the comic book
I know.
Man, and I'm gonna stomp on that thing you like. No, I'm just kidding. I actually did really enjoy it.
I was like looking forward to this kind of like, I guess, minor spoilers. You don't have to go deep into it, but like team ups of these characters we've seen across the other episodes.
I
wish it had been longer than 30 minutes.
Nebula.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, apparently, so I did read
stupid.
I did read that the Gamora that we got in this final episode, like was supposed to have her own episode. Like it was like a 10 episode season, but it got pushed because of COVID reasons. And so that'll just be in season 2.
God, that sucks because, you know, it might have made it just that much more, like, bearable that they did the same storyline for Killmonger and Black Panther.
Yeah.
Like,
yep.
And then brought them together on the same team. And I was like, but, okay, I guess.
Yeah. I enjoyed it in just that, like, it was kind of just a spectacle for 30 minutes. I think it would have had to have been a lot longer if we were going to get any like depth to this team up or these characters, but
because it was
a good time watching it, it was hyping me up when I was watching
canon,
it. Yeah,
there isn't really that much hope, or I mean, I didn't take away much out of it except for it's pure entertainment.
You know? It's popcorn watch. It's what I was looking for.
But the thing at the end that happens, I have questions about, and I have thoughts and feelings.
It was so obvious. Like, David and I were literally sitting on the couch going back and forth, because I'm like, we haven't seen him. And she was like, yeah, he's there. And I was like, no, he's not. And, like, literally kept pointing out, like, every single time the scene changed, I pointed out who was there and who wasn't. And I was like, you know, it's just so... It felt very obvious. Like, I don't know. It just felt so.
But I think it needed something. I mean, throughout the whole series, it was a lot of despair. You know, I mean, the movies, there is despair, but there's a lot of hope as well. And I don't think that that theme was really that prevalent in the series.
Sure.
And so I think they needed to tie up somehow, especially if they had to cut, you know, series out or episodes out because of COVID.
No, you're so right. Like, if anything, it feels like maybe this could have been held a little bit longer, right? Like,
yeah.
So they could show us the Gamora episode and actually make it make sense.
Yeah.
And, like, that does make sense, you know, given, Gary, like, what you said, and David did say the same thing in my Slack messages, actually, like, a minute after you said it, about her, you know, having her story pushed. So, like, yeah. I'm not mad about her. It's just, like, also, like I said, the title of the episode kind of irked me, because I was like, he's not doing anything, though.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Like, yeah.
Literally in the last episode before this one, you know, we're supposed to like believe that he is extremely powerful, right? Because he's been given this responsibility.
Yeah.
So clearly he must be able to like defend all the universes from this exact sort of thing. And then like the whole thing is going to like lead me to believe like he's going to be a badass, and he's not. He doesn't do
yeah,
shit.
He doesn't participate in the fight like really no. at all.
No.
He big baby.
Yeah. He just picked a bunch of toys to play with and threw them in the same battle arena together.
Let me tell you something. If Venom was there, much better.
I had a good time with it, though.
Not enough romance in this what if.
Yeah, fair.
No.
Also, I just like, what is different about Thor in what if and Thor in, like, I'm sorry, but like, literally, it's basically the same
Nothing?
Man. Like, the way that
he's just frat bro Thor instead of
like, unfortunately, them using the fact that Chris Hemsworth is a big hunky, you know, beefy dude, and reducing a lot of Thor's character to
yeah.
this very himbo-esque character in the current, in like the original canon MCU, mm-hmm. makes this version of him feel very much the same. Like,
yeah,
like David pointed out, he has a tattoo in this one.
Oh my god. I didn't even catch that.
Are you serious? He has a tattoo of a I'm stupid. Of a microscope that says science.
Oh my god.
And
okay.
Jane.
Yeah.
Are you serious, guys? Jane and Thor get matching tattoos.
I think I missed
yeah.
this.
No, I remember.
Or forgot
yes.
about this.
I'm pulling it up.
That's fine.
It was
I believe
during
you.
Their drunken stupor.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Here is an article that we can link in the description.
Great.
All about the episode. It has a couple great pictures, including one of Rocket Raccoon in a sink.
Yes. That is a great.
Yeah, but magic with Mjolnir and then science.
I see.
With,
I see. With a microscope.
Oh,
yeah. Also,
yeah.
Dark Mary's Howard the Duck.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I do remember that. I think I, like, blocked this memory of this, my memory of this episode.
I gotta say, here's my problem, and the last thing that I'll really say about the what if, because, like, I did ultimately
yeah.
enjoy it. The reason that Gamora felt out of place to me isn't because we didn't get an episode about her. It's that I really felt like this was an opportunity for them to introduce Squirrel Girl in a fun way.
Aw, yeah.
Because, like, who is unbeatable? It's her.
Yeah.
Literally
the unbeatable Squirrel Girl.
With this episode being all about like these multiple universes that aren't necessarily attached to the canon, like they wouldn't even have to use her again. They could just do this one nice thing for us. But no.
Yeah.
Never the Squirrel Girl
wrong.
Fans.
That's a pity. No. I didn't think about there's so many characters that they could introduce that like haven't shown up in any of the
like literally, guys, literally, Squirrel Girl kicks Thanos's ass by herself in the comics, like
yeah.
So that stupid little machine that Gamora had that didn't even like do anything. Come on, Squirrel Girl
was,
defeated her fist.
Was the release of What If delayed at all, or was it always supposed to be released at this time? Scheduled to be released.
Don't know when it was originally scheduled to be released. I know that they had some production delays like on it because of COVID-19 and pandemic stuff, but I don't know. Mm-hmm. How that affected the overall series.
What are you thinking, Michelle?
Just wondering about if they thought they were going to schedule this to be earlier without even announcing Squirrel Girl or anything like that. And then they would have done the, oh, but guess what? Here's a surprise. You know how they do the Comic-Con,
yeah.
you know, like surprises.
Reveals.
Right.
Yeah.
Like that's always my thinking. Like what marketing ploy did
Absolutely.
They have
see that's why I was honestly surprised that they didn't use like She-Hulk
Oh, sure. Because
that's something that they could be promoting.
It's on the horizon. Uh-huh.
But it depends, like, I think, on the schedule of production and script and et cetera, et cetera. Versus yeah. so when, true. You know, they confirmed actors, actresses for those projects. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, who really knows? Marvel and
those people that worked on it, I guess.
Right. Like, the marketing people at Marvel have, I don't know, however many hats or however many
they
people.
They said they're listening. The they're not listening, but they're like, we don't know. We right. don't know either. Don't ask us. And I'm get so it, guys. Now. Okay, what else did we want to talk about?
Lots of conspiracies.
I don't have a lot of other, yeah, I don't have a lot of other, like, what if stuff necessarily. We spent half an hour talking about Marvel last time Michelle was here, so yeah. I think we can skip the rest of the Marvel talk for now.
So this is going to be releasing on... Okay, so by now, the book event for Star Wars Thrawn, book 3, will be announced already.
Wow, is that true?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, I wasn't sure when the announcement
Why
for that
would
is
Michelle
happening.
Lie?
I am so because if we accidentally are the first ones to, like, reveal that this is happening.
Yes.
I am so excited.
We announced it on October 14th.
Perfect. Awesome.
So
that is so exciting.
What conspiracies will we have for book 3?
I mean, this is gonna be the end of this, like, chaos, Thrawn, like, ascendancy, mm-hmm. like, trilogy, and has all been about, like, Thrawn outside the Outer Rim, like, when he's still with the Chiss before he joins the Empire, and I didn't read book 2 yet, so I don't actually know where this story's gonna go.
Yeah, I didn't finish book 2.
Here I sit, in silence, because I haven't finished book 1.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many Thrawn books now, right, because there's the original trilogy.
Uh-huh.
There is, like, another duology that I think he shows up in that takes place, like, earlier in the timeline that's also, like old EU Zahn. And then we have the trilogy that came out a couple years ago that was Thrawn, Thrawn Alliances, and Thrawn Treason. And now this is the end of, like, a new trilogy. This is the 10th or 11th Thrawn book. So
damn.
I don't blame you for not having read a lot of Thrawn, or any Thrawn particularly.
And he's such a great character, I will say.
Yeah.
It's, like, underestimated, for
yeah.
sure.
I think that this is going to end. Here's my, like, bold prediction without having read book 2. I think that this is going to end with him having to leave the Chiss Ascendancy. And, like, that's the reason that he joins the Empire, is that he's not allowed at home anymore.
Really?
But what is that catalyst?
I think he's going to run away.
I don't think that's the...
So I think that it's potential, right? Like, because I feel like that could be such a, like... I think it could be an interesting and compelling thing to have him run away, right? Because of the fact that he runs away at the end in the future, right? Like, and I think that because his character is very, like, you don't expect that behavior from him, like, that I could see him making that choice about, like, basically what his family is to him.
Yeah,
and, like,
it's
just sort of, like, internalizing it and, like, burying it and being like, no, I didn't do that.
The first one deals a lot with the, like, politics of the Chiss Ascendancy in particular, mm-hmm. and how their family structures work and how they get, like, adopted into each other, and their name is literally part of, like, taken from the family name. And he was an outsider who was brought into this family because he was a particularly good, like, military student,
and, like,
but
so
he doesn't really fit in.
Like, yeah, that's why I feel like, you know, it's potential that he will run away because he wants to fit in somewhere, and
that's
eventually why he will run away in the future is because he doesn't belong there. He doesn't belong anywhere. Yeah,
but I mean,
I think that all angry villain boys are actually just sad. Well,
I mean,
not
yes.
all of them.
Most.
Very curious. So, yeah, we'll see. I definitely think that whatever this is, it's going to be the end of him being part of the Ascendancy.
Yeah, I agree.
Curious to see whatever form that
Sorry,
takes.
Now I'm just really hoping that I'm right. I hope that my insane prediction as someone who has
I'm trying to think of any other time where Thrawn has run away.
Like, it's very much something that is the antithesis of his character archetype. Like, I'm just going off of, like, what I know about Thrawn as a character and what I know about the way that characters' arcs are typically played out, you know?
Sure.
And, like, yeah. motivations and stuff. Like, because we haven't seen him really run away in any other circumstance, where does that, you know, that desire is something that is the, I think, you know, for lack of a better term, the balls to run away is something that's developed when you're young, in my opinion. Like, so it would make sense to me. Like, and when I say young, I mean, like, you know, relative to whatever, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just, like, Thrawn is such a, like, manipulative and, like, ingenious kind of character, and I think that, like, he's the kind of person, at least we've seen up to this point, where is willing to go above and beyond and break the rules to, like, prove that he's right about something. And I think that's why I think it's more likely that he's going to be banished, that he's going to go and do something that eventually, where the Chiss are like, no, you can't. We can't have you be part of this organization.
To be totally honest with you, if that's what happens, it would be, in my opinion, maybe kind of boring, just because that's very on par with a lot of the other Star Wars, like,
well, it's just a lot of, like, stories. This is how Thrawn has been since the 90s.
That's true.
Yeah.
You know? And so I wouldn't be surprised if he's... Yeah, if he continues to be the character he's been for 30 years, you know? And also, like, I don't know if I trust Timothy Zahn to do something different. Like, no offense to him, but he's written 11 of these books, and I know what this character feels like, you know? And I would be really surprised if we got something, like, different out of this character. I'd be into that.
You were like, damn, Becca, that's an excellent point. I hope Timothy Zahn is listening so he'll change the ending.
No, but, like, yeah, I don't know. Mm. Like, as much as I love Thrawn, like, I don't think that I love Thrawn the way that, like, Darcy or Kylie love Thrawn. And
I have a soft spot for Thrawn, but because he won't have angry emotional breakdowns, I can never love him.
That's very
funny. I need the boy to destroy the wall in rage. Only in fiction, though.
Okay, good.
Dear all men, well, if you hit a wall within a vicinity of me, I will freak out and then hit you, probably. Don't hit walls.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Don't be that way.
I mean, I guess unless the wall hits you first.
Becca, I also wanted to, since we're just jumping around, like, topic by topic, you just finished putting together the new manga section in the Snorv and bringing a new, like, we've been talking about wanting to do this for so long, and I'm, like, really excited.
And it's getting a lot of attention, which I'm so happy about.
I feel like I sort of, like, came into this job as a closer, right? Like, I was like, you were like, oh, we've been talking about doing a podcast, and I was like, we're doing it. It's done. We're on the podcast now. And then we were all like, well, we want manga in the store. And I was like, it's done.
Just bring it in the store.
We have a whole manga section now.
It's incredible. It's awesome.
I'm very excited. We thought so much about curating the section since we knew we had to start small. And, like, to me, the reasoning behind the selections is very much like, when I think of Mysterious Galaxy, I think of it as a specialty store. And when I go to specialty stores, like, I'm looking for something maybe that isn't, like, the most popular thing. Or, you know, maybe it is, but, like, it's different, right? Like, so I wanted to balance it out by having both books with softer themes and more, like, you know, books about, like, typical, like, you know, like, fighting, action, that sort of stuff. So we did bring in extremely popular, you know, sensation, Boku no Hero Academia, also known as My Hero Academia in English. We have the first volume on hand for you guys, which, as far as I have seen, is a little bit harder to pick up these days because they're getting into the, like, late 20s, early 30s of the volumes, I believe.
Yeah.
And we also have, alongside that, to pair with it as a YA, we have the Quintessential Quintuplets, which is a really sweet romance comedy slice of life manga about a set of five, you know, quintuplets and their tutor for school and sort of the relationship that all of them have with one another. And it's told from the future perspective of the tutor, who is in the future married to one of them. So it's a very fun, like, you get to, like, try and figure out who it's going to be, who he's developing a relationship with, that sort of stuff.
Mm.
And then for adults, we have Wotokoi, which is a office romance. about two otaku, and they were best friends growing up as little kids, get separated, end up meeting again in the workforce and falling in love. And lastly, the big one I want to shout out is Way of the House Husband.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we have the first volume of that in. If you happen to be in store and Victoria is there, ask her her thoughts on it, because I brought her to the dark side with it. When I met Victoria, she said, oh, you know, like, I like Cowboy Bebop. I like Trigun. And I was like, have you not realized that there is an endless amount of, like, sexy men manga that is literally geared at, like, women that are in the workforce? So yeah, we have all of that. It's just a tiny section right next to the graphic novels. I'm working on a sign right now, but if you pass the water cooler thing, you've gone too far. And for Halloween, we have a really great selection of Junji Ito books.
Oh, yeah.
We have the release from last year, Romina, and the release from this year, the title is escaping me. Oh, gosh. It has a really beautiful gold, like, lenticular cover on
it. Oh, yeah, I saw that sitting there. I don't know what that book is called.
Oh, and then we also have a good handful of Star Wars manga. Including for the most recent series, right?
I don't think this is actually tied to Visions, but they do have Justina Ireland wrote with there's another author on this book.
Thank you to David. Censor by Junji Ito is the one that came out this year.
Got it.
And we have that one in store.
It's a High Republic book, Edge of Balance. It's Shima Senya and Justina Ireland writing together. And it looks great. I am just excited that we now have, like, High Republic content that is extending outside of the books and the like regular graphic novel run that's happening right now. I want more High Republic content. I know there's eventually going to be a show, but we have this one, and then I think they're going to do a volume two.
There is a second volume coming, and there's also a second Star Wars comic as well.
Yeah, there's High Republic and High Republic Adventures, I think, are the two, but there might even be like a new thing happening. They just announced a bunch of their new production slate for stuff coming out next year today, this morning, at the morning that we're recording this, and I haven't been able to go through it all yet.
But yeah, so our manga section is pretty stacked right now. So please come check it out. And if you're looking for something, or, you know, you have a genre in mind and you want to, you know more about getting into manga, definitely, you can always email us here at the podcast or contact me, Becca@MistGalaxy, and I will help you out, man.
Yeah. Fun stuff. I'm glad that this finally happened. Mm-hmm, we had a sticky note that we were keeping a tally every time someone came in the store and asked if we had manga.
Yes, Darcy was amazing for that.
Yeah,
I think it was up really to like 9.
Yeah, and we started it late because it's a question that we've been getting for literally years, you know. But I don't know. It's good.
My next big hope is to bring in some classics. Like,
okay,
they just did a reprinting of Sailor Moon in higher quality scans.
Ooh, with more accurate
translations. So I think I'm gonna.
That's awesome.
You know, if the manga gods say so, and by the manga gods I mean the publishers, if they have the books, I will bring them to us.
We will get them. Yeah,
we'll deliver them onto us.
If they print the books, we will order them.
Amen.
And Michelle, I have like one more thing to like poke you about.
Yes.
Because it is the midst of October, and right now we're doing the 13 days to Halloween, right?
We are. So currently on social media, we are taking a poll of what everyone's collective spooky picks are for the month up to 13 days of Halloween. And we're doing little brackets, and we're trying to see, you know, what is the fan favorite, and
we're gonna make your books fight each other.
It's going to be all over Twitter and Instagram stories and Instagram feed. And it's just going to be 13 days of full spooky, full on all the time.
It's going to be great. And for the final two, I'm going to draw a 4-panel comic of them duking it out to see who
wins. That's awesome. This sounds so fun. I just said that. Do it.
I'm
just kidding. I'm not going to make you commit to something that you made as a joke on a podcast.
I mean, hey, that's how most of my comics get made, so.
That's funny.
I need to see how we can put like a creepy, spooky theme over Misty.
But I don't think you can make that happen in the
next 9 days.
No, probably not. Might be a little late. I could figure it out.
So maybe I'll
Darcy's so precious about Misty. Like you'll have to run it by her.
But we have a mystified TikTok.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
So maybe I can ask if we could do like a purple and green type. We'll find out. I will ask. We will see.
We're gonna cut this out.
Yeah, we will.
The listeners don't need to know this part.
The behind the scenes stuff.
Oh my god.
Let's see. So by now, I am hopefully finished with mine and Gary's rereading escapades.
Yeah.
A chorus of sadness. Dragon. Just kidding.
Yeah, a chorus of sadness. Uh-huh. Absolutely.
I hate when you make more people talk about this in front of me, Gary.
It's so good. I love this series to pieces. Michelle and I have been texting about it as we've been getting through different parts. You got so far ahead of me in book three right now. And I am working to catch up. But yeah, probably be... That's 2 weeks away. Probably be done.
We'll be done.
Book four by then.
Because I want to reread the Thrawn books before the next one comes out.
Okay, so we have a deadline. We have a deadline.
I have a deadline.
Okay.
Oh my god, I have something to talk about.
Okay.
I have something to talk about. I'm over this.
Okay.
Did y'all see the development that has happened from the Bat Family webtoon?
I have not.
No.
There's going to be a series.
Incredible.
Really?
That's awesome.
Let me pull it up.
Yeah, send me the link and I'll include this in the description too.
Yeah. I'm just going to share this to you guys for now and I'll find a better link. But look at this picture.
Ooh. This is fun.
All of them this look is like very they're doing fun. The webtoon. It is a like mixed race group fucking Babs in the chair. I'm so stoked. Like
who's that's Batman? Awesome.
It's gonna be so good. All of the actors are like I don't want to say nobody's because like I haven't looked them up, but not anyone that I am aware of.
Interesting.
Like, I don't know any of them, so this is very exciting to me.
Is it called Bat Family?
No, so they're called the Bat Family, but the series is called The Wayne Family Adventures.
Ooh.
Okay.
So I would say definitely check out the webtoon if you guys haven't, because, I don't know, things are moving really fast.
That's awesome.
Like, I swear, it was just like 2 weeks ago or something that we were talking about the release of this comic.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It just happened really recently. Jonathan Bentley is apparently playing Bruce Wayne. I don't know him from anything.
Oh. Well, yeah, because he's Batman. He's good at what he does. Do we not have anything else to talk about?
I don't know. Probably not. I knew this was going to be a short... I'm glad to have this one be a short one because doing two edits back-to-back sucks. I think that might be it. I don't know if there's anything else that is like really like pressing that we need to chat about. But I wanted to have something that we could put out next on the 21st.
What's your favorite kind of... What is your favorite classic movie monster type?
Ooh.
Go. Don't think about it.
Probably vampires. I think vampires are cool.
Lame. Basic.
All of the classic movie monsters are... Well, okay.
Really?
Like 1980s, 70s Swamp Thing.
I was going to say, it's not Swamp Thing. It's the creature.
I know.
But Swamp Thing is a different gross, stinky, wet boy. And I love him too.
Amazing.
I mean, there's also the werewolves.
I like the
Frankenstein.
I'm just gonna pull them all up. The wrapped up guy, the Invisible Man.
The Invisible Man. Ooh, I like the Invisible Man. I read that book. It was good.
You don't know if he's hot or ugly under there.
Do you watch, what is that DC show?
Are you talking about Doom Patrol?
Yes. Who's the wrapped up guy?
The guy in Doom Patrol is...
He was like on USA shows.
I mean, it's Negative Man. It's Matt Bomer.
Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I know that.
Every time I see him on the screen, I think of the Invisible Guy.
Every time I think of Matt Bomer, I think about how, like, absolutely floored I was to learn that he was, like, gay and married with children. Yes. Just because my only context for him, and I'm talking about, like, long ago, like, this was probably, like, in, like, 2009, 2010 or something like that.
Sure.
But, like, all my context of him was hot guy that is main character in White Collar that I don't think is very good at what he does, but my mom loves him. And then when he got cast in Magic Mike, Tumblr got set on fire and was like, oh my God, guys, he's gay.
Yeah.
And I was like, hell yeah.
Good for him.
Good for him.
What was he in before all of that?
He was in Chuck.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
that's what I knew him from before White Collar happened. He was the guy who sent Chuck the program that made him a spy, basically. Right.
Why does everyone like Chuck?
I liked Chuck.
Am I weird? Because
Zachary Levi is a gem.
Yes,
I think it's just because it's in that genre, like wheelhouse of like a lot of like. I was willing to like chill out with like Castle because I think that the main chick is really hot.
Yes.
I was willing to hang out during like you know, like I didn't pay attention to CSI, but I'll hang out. But like all of the like very much like Person of Interest and White Collar and The Mentalist and like Alias, Covert Affairs, Burn Note, all of that. I was like, this is the same thing.
Most of that stuff is not. I didn't watch most of them. But I liked Chuck because...
I think Chuck just got, like, merged into that,
I could watch that with my mom and not be uncomfortable.
But because it's about the underdog. It's about the underdog who is going to prevail in not so super.
He was a nerdy guy who worked at, like the Geek Squad at Best Buy kind of guy. Like...
Yeah.
Also, one of the actors... This is, like, off your soft topic, but the actor who was his boss... The actor that was his boss at the Buy More used to come into the movie theater I worked at all the time.
What?
Yeah.
Do you guys know what the best series is of that time?
What?
I'll tell you. It's Dark Angel.
Oh, so good.
I don't even think I know what that is.
I literally think that show might be why I'm, like, bisexual. Like, honestly, that and X-Files. I was just talking to David about that this morning.
That's
like, there's just a small handful of shows like where it was like creepy or like spooky dark shows that I watched when I was really young.
Okay.
That had beautiful women as leads and like not necessarily like as hot, but like quirky and fun and lovable like male counterparts.
Gotcha.
And I was like, this is the only acceptable version of men and women for me.
That's funny. Yeah, I have not seen Dark Angel.
Hot. Oh my God, you would love it.
I'll have to go find it.
I don't know if you would love. I don't know. I haven't watched it since I was like literally, what?
Six? It came out in 2000.
Yeah, so. Six.
That's funny.
Because it was like, who was the other one? Post Buffy. Was it
Angel?
Jennifer, Ben Affleck's former wife, Jennifer. And then she was a red-haired spy person.
Aniston? Garland.
No. Garner.
Garner Garland.
Uh-huh.
I'm gonna lose my mind.
What spy? Alias.
Alias.
Yep.
I think that was around. That one, either. That one is a good one.
It was 2001 to.
Y'all remember Elektra?
Yes.
That's how I'm gonna leave this episode.
All right.
Y'all remember Elektra? The end.
Thank you for being here for this nonsense, Michelle.
Did you have a good time?
I did. It's like
I promise next time we'll do a real episode. Hey,
yeah, this was very much. This was very much
the best time.
Aww.
Like
mom.
Hey,
answer.
We need to have an episode come out on the 21st. We have to record it today. Let's do this.
Yeah.
I trust that the three of us can wing it and make it entertaining.
Of course.
I agree.
I'll cut out the nonsense and it'll be fine.
I have to pee.
Okay.
That's fine. We should wrap this up.
Okay. So I'm going to do the outro.
Go for it.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. And thank you, Michelle, for joining us for this absolutely, I don't even know if I could call it an episode.
It's an episode.
This absolutely insane collection of audio clips. As always, the few books that we discussed will be below in the links to our website, mistgalaxy.com. Thank you so much to Austin Farmer for the use of our intro and outro music, cut from Kill the Farm Boy off of his album Bookshelf Symphony Orchestra, which is also linked below. Please go give it a listen if you haven't. Everything that we talked about, the pictures, the article, those will be linked below as well. And if you are not following us on social media, check us out everywhere at Miss Galaxy Books. And yeah, come in, come check out the new Halloween decorations, the new manga section, and that's all, I guess. We will see you guys again soon in a galaxy not so far away.
Bye.
Bye.
Goodbye.